This is Victory House.
Glory to God. All right. Do you have your Bibles with you? I imagine you do because you have come to church. Amen. And you may not have a physical Bible, but at least you have a smartphone. If you have a not-so-smartphone, it's okay. We are still glad you're here. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And if you were to title my message today, I would call it The Art of Getting There. That title impressed me, so I decided to use that. The art of getting there. There is an art of getting there. And there is the place of fulfillment, is the place of living your life's purpose. Amen? There is an art to it. Amen? And when we talk about fulfillment, we are not talking about like a dollar value. We are not talking about a big house. We are not talking. You may not have, you may have maybe a two-digit bank statement. You may have a three-digit bank statement. Maybe a four-digit bank statement. Maybe a seven-digit bank statement. But that does not mean you have arrived. The getting there or that place of fulfillment is more than money. It's more than family. It's more than the house you live in. So wherever you are, you can be fulfilled and you can get to your required destination. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 that I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Because every one of us has a course. The challenge is that many times we are so mind so many other things. We mind other people's businesses. We mind other people's courses. We see that somebody has gone further than we are, seemingly. And sometimes we get dejected. Or sometimes you look behind and say, oh, I'm running ahead of that person. And you feel like you have arrived. But no. Every one of us has a specific course, a specific path, and where you are, we are judging your progress by God's expectation of you. Amen? Not society's expectation of you. So there is an art to getting there. There is an art to being fulfilled in life, to living a life on target. Or a purposeful life. Amen? And I'm going to share three things that I believe are key to getting there. Please, if you can write some of these things down, write them down. If you cannot, we have media, the hardest working department and the best department in this church. you can go to our Facebook page. You can go to our YouTube channel. Those resources, these the teachings that Pastor E has been teaching and the other pastors have been teaching, you can find them there and you can encourage yourself time and time again. Amen? So number one is acknowledge God. Acknowledge God. The art of getting there. The art of living my best life. Acknowledge God. Proverbs 3 from verse 5 to 6. Now, don't be fooled like that you have had this before. I know you have. But there's still something you're going to get from this. I believe God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So acknowledge God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let's go. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. What does it mean to acknowledge? What does it mean to acknowledge? Part of the the dictionary definition of acknowledge is to accept or admit the existence of. To accept or admit the existence of or the truth of something. Now, when we say acknowledge God, the Bible says that anyone who will please God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Anything that is going to have eternal significance must begin with God. If we do not begin with God, if something does not begin with God, then chances are it will not have eternal significance. The Bible in Psalm 14 and verse 1, if we would open, if we would have that on the screen, that would be great. The Bible says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and they have done abominable works. There is none that does good. Let's see what verse 2 says. You remember the fool is saying there's no God. But then the Lord is looking down from heaven upon the children of men. So the being of God is not dependent on your belief. Whether you believe it or you know that Ripley's Believe It or Not or something. Okay, maybe I'm edging myself. Whether you believe it or not, God is. God is. And if anything is going to have eternal significance, remember, we are living, we are aiming to live a life fulfilled. We are aiming to live our best life. And the first thing is we must acknowledge God. Amen? Acknowledge God and do not rely on your own understanding. We are living in a time where there's so many technological minds. There's so many technological advancements. There's so many of us that think we know more than there is to be known. And maybe Google knows some things, but Google doesn't know everything. Praise God. Amen. But there is a God who knows everything. Amen. So acknowledge God and do not rely on your own understanding. I know many of us here are really smart and we have some doctors. We have some IT professionals. We have some Bible people. And sometimes our reasoning or the extent of our training or school, sometimes that overshadows the reality of God. But I'm here to remind you that if we are going to live a life of purpose, or if we're going to live our best life, first we have to acknowledge God. Now, God is not anti-knowledge. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given us a brain. So God wants us to use our brains. He wants us to think. But the Bible is saying, in all your thinking, do not rely on your own understanding. Because the best of us knows just a bit. The Bible says, if anyone think they know. Eh? So sometimes we come to a place where we feel I'm a PhD holder. I can reason some of this. Maybe I should share this. I was reading, somebody was saying molecular physics or whatever, one of those complicated things. But this person was kind of,
arguing the inexistence of time. He said that time is just a mental concept. There's nothing like time. And he made some arguments that I personally, in the simplicity of my mind, I felt he was being too wise for himself. Because we know that God created time. Amen? Anyway, let me not go that far. So ask God's opinion about things. If we are going to live our best life, you and I need to ask God's opinion about situations. Sometimes you have, I remember, and I've shared this before, one of the biggest gains I have personally experienced with stock trading, it was an idea that God gave me. I was praying and God said, work with so-and-so. I won't give the person's name. But so it took me 5 years to obey. Don't laugh at me. I know some of you, God has told you some things in the past and it's 10 years now. Yeah. But it took me like 5 years to obey. And finally, I went and told the guy, I'm like, hey, I didn't tell him God told me to work with you. I was like, hey, I know you know about stocks. Can you help work with me? And percentage-wise, I think we made about 300% of what I invested. And I've shared this story before. We went, did the worship camp, and we sold it back into the kingdom. Glory to God. But that was something that came from God. It was an instruction, an idea that came from God. It wasn't in my own mind. In my own mind, I was like, maybe not. Maybe I'll do it myself. But it was an idea that came from God. So if we're going to live our best life, ask God's opinion about situations. Check with him even in the simple things. Now, I'm going to say something that seemingly is controversial. I used to, now I'm getting back to it. I used to ask God what I should wear. I did. Until I had somebody on the pulpit, they said, oh, don't trouble God. God is more interested in other things. And I stopped. But I disagree with that gentleman. Because when you learn to hear God in the simple things, it's easier for you to hear him in the big things. And listen, many of us have friends. Maybe you're living with somebody, you're rooming with somebody, and when you're going out, you're always like, how do I look? What should I wear? You're doing that, right? So why wouldn't you do that with God as your friend? Right? And it's not about choosing what to wear. It's just developing a relationship. It's strengthening a relationship. And so I've started doing it again. I do it all. And so when you see me looking good, sometimes it's my wife, yes, but other times it is Jesus. Glory to God. Even when I'm cooking, and my wife was, I don't cook with a recipe, and I do make some good food. At least she tells me I But normally it's like, okay, what should I do now? What should I do now? It's just cultivating hearing the voice of God. That's the principle. And God is not too busy. God is not too busy. Don't believe that lie. God is not too busy. Amen? So if we are going to live our best life, we need to check with God and even in the small things. If we learn to hear God in the small situations, we shall hear him in bigger, bigger decisions. Amen? Number two, respect people. Respect people. Learn to respect all people, especially those with whom you do not want to carry favor or you do not need to carry favor. Everybody loves the pastor. Everybody loves the pastor. But what about the waitress? What about the customer service person that
you slam the phone and you tell, you're not hearing me. I've done that sometimes. So I repented. I'm a changed man now. I'm innocent. Glory to God.
So learn to respect people. Let's read Esther. Esther 2. I'm going to read verse 13, verse 15, and verse 17. And I should start running. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go. Let me read from here. Was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, when her turn was come to go in unto the king. No, keep going. Let's go 16. Okay, let me read what I have here. When the turn for Esther was come to go into the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of women, appointed. Yes, it was still second half of 15. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. Now let's see verse 17 really quick. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight. We know the story. So one thing that struck me about this portion of scripture is that there were numerous women, so many women. And everyone, when it was the time for the woman to go to the king, they would choose anything. But Esther was wise enough to know that this eunuch, who in a sense is a servant, maybe I don't want to illustrate it. We know what a eunuch is. This eunuch has something to do with the king. This eunuch that seems to be a servant knows what the king likes. And so Esther was wise enough to treat him with due regard and ask his opinion. What do you think I should take to the king? What do you think I should wear going to the king's house? And the Bible says that she only took what he advised. I believe strongly that as we are desiring or on our way to living our best life, God is placing instructions for your destiny in people that do not look like it. It may not be Andrew here holding the mic that has the instruction for your destiny. It may be somebody next to you. It may be somebody that you meet on the street. Amen? So we need to learn how to respect all people. Respect everyone. Respect everyone. Amen? And to respect means to have due regard for something or for somebody. It is easy to respect leaders. But what about the people that you lead? Or it is easy for me as a leader to say you must respect me. But what about the people that I am, in a sense, leading? Do I respect them? It is easy for me to demand loyalty. But am I loyal to the people that God has given me? Am I loyal to the people that God has put around me? Amen? Okay, I wrote this down.
the single ladies. Where are the single ladies? Where are the single? Oh, the single ladies. All right.
I know maybe you are dating somebody. Huh?
And I think mothers, I hope you cheer me after this, after what I say. Huh?
I know you're a single lady, you're dating somebody. But sometimes you may need to find out some of the things that please your future husband from their mother. I know you're going to take over, but just because you're going to take over doesn't mean you should discard other people. Amen?
I thought that may be important. I don't know if it has helped you. Thank you, sir. Uh-huh. Ladies to fathers. Praise God. That was free of charge.
So Esther was wise enough to know that there's something about this eunuch. He has been with the king for a while. He must know something that I don't. Now, Esther might be going to be the queen. She may be in status higher than the eunuch, but she's wise enough to recognize and to respect the eunuch. Amen? And I believe that that's one of the things that enabled her to get to where she was going. Amen? Amen.
I remember one time the Lord put this on my heart. I like to think, and so sometimes I have conversations with the Spirit of God on the inside of me. And this is one of the things that came to my heart. Say, people look up to us because they see God in us. We do not look down on people because we see them as God does. Anyone who is in a leadership position, any leader, and we all are leaders one way or the other. One of the things why people look up to you is because they see God in you. And you should not look down on any man because you should see them as God does. Amen? I thought that was nice. Praise God. So treat all men with respect. 1 Peter 2 and 17. Treat all men with respect. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 12, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule. If you want to be respected, respect others. If you want to be loved, the Bible says that if you want to have many friends, you must show yourself friendly. If you want to be loved, you must love people. If you want people to be loyal to you, you must be loyal to them. Amen? So your path to the best life or to your best life can be shortened by the person sitting next to you. Amen? So treat them with respect. The Bible in Hebrews 13 and verse 2, I wrote this down. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Amen? So there will be people around you who are messengers from God. There will be people around you who have a message for you from God. And it's going to depend on how you treat them for you to draw out that message. I will leave that there. Amen? Number three. So what is number one? Acknowledge God. Number two? Respect people. Number three? All right. And we're talking about the art to getting there. The art of living your best life. Number three is take chances. Take chances.
Do something uncomfortable. Do something uncomfortable. Now, many of us in here are immigrants. In other words, you were not necessarily born here, and you've come from somewhere to this nation. That is somewhat uncomfortable. I remember the first time I left my home country, Uganda, the Pearl of Africa. Glory to God. I left my home country. I was going to India to study. I didn't want to leave. But sometimes you have to do uncomfortable things. In fact, I have somebody, one of my cousins, I will not name them. They went to India. I was watching you. And they spent like 2 months there, and it seemed like it was hard. They came back to Uganda. But we stayed there. Sometimes you have to do something uncomfortable. Now, many of us, we've moved from some comfort level to come here. Sometimes you come, you don't know anyone. Now, some of us were blessed. We had some family around, but sometimes some people come and they don't know anyone. They're just there by themselves. But to live your best life or to pursue your best life, you have to do something uncomfortable. You have to maybe get a job that doesn't pay you as much as you think you're worth. I know all of us in here are saying yes, yes, yes. I don't know anyone who thinks that they get paid just enough. I always feel like people always want more. And it's okay to want more. Amen. Maybe you have to start a business. And for some people, maybe you have to date again. Maybe you were heartbroken. Maybe you have to date again. Maybe you say that, I'm done with men. I'm done with women. And maybe you have to come out of that comfort zone and do something uncomfortable. Amen? And if the business failed, maybe you need to start another business. Amen? Proverbs 14 and verse 4. I'm going to read you, I'll read the KJV and I'll read the NLT. The Bible says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. The NLT says, without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a huge harvest. As I was thinking about this, I wrote something down. It says, comfort is enjoyable, but growth comes from uncomfortable seasons or uncomfortable situations. Amen? Take chances. Do something that is hard. Do something that challenges you. Did you know that God expects us to face lions? Proverbs 26, verse 13. The Bible says that a sluggard says, or a lazy person says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. So the lazy person will look at the challenge and say, there's a huge challenge outside. I'm going to stay where I am. But God expects you and I to face the lion, to go. He wants us to ask, where is this lion? Where is that giant? Where is that mountain? You may come against me with your fierceness, with your strength, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. Amen? God expects you and I to do things that are uncomfortable. Amen. When the world is running away from challenges, God expects us to run to them in his name. I was listening yesterday, and I almost was weeping on the inside. I was listening to Martin Luther King's last speech. One of the things that really bugged me is when people disrespect each other or when people oppress others. Those are some of the things that really bug me. So when I think about the state of the nation, this great nation, one nation under God, indivisible along political lines, I feel bad. So last night I was listening to Martin Luther King's last speech, and I was almost crying on the inside. I'm like, wow. You notice that the civil rights movement had a lot to do with the church. And lately I've been just thinking about the fact that the church is supposed to be the pillar of truth. That's what the Bible says. The church is supposed to be the moral compass of the nation. But sometimes we are afraid to do things that are uncomfortable. Amen? I would imagine if Martin Luther King and the church at the time didn't do anything about civil rights, where would we be up to this point? Amen? I'll leave that there. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 2. I'm closing. I'll be done in 5 minutes, I hope. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 2, the Bible says, "But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead." So remember, we're on the journey of living our best life. We're on the journey of being fulfilled. And we have learned that we, number one, need to acknowledge God. Number two, we need to respect people. Number three, we need to take chances. And in taking chances, we need to do things that are uncomfortable to us. Amen? And then Ecclesiastes says something. It says, divide your investment. Do more. Don't do one thing, but do another thing. Amen? You may not do everything, but do something, and then do another thing. We see that some of the greatest preachers, take for instance Paul. Paul was a preacher. He was a tent maker. Amen? So we need to explore. I used to be a good dancer. Some of the people that see me to this day, they're like, they still have my image of the guy that I'm like, you should see me. These days I only dance to African music. That one, it will not leave me. I also used to be a good soccer player. I thought I might say that. I used to be. But I guess I want to go get back to the point. Do one thing, do something else. Huh? You have more in you than you. Ooh. Yes. We are made for more. Huh? There's a lot in you that you may not know. I never knew that I could speak even on radio and even until somebody. We were dancing, and then they elected me and another friend to go and do an interview for our dance group, to talk about the group. And when I came back home, somebody said, "Man, you sound good on radio." And ever since then, I have had radio shows. I had a radio show in school. Even this preaching is all based on because of one simple thing that somebody say. So explore. There's a lot more in you that you may not know. One of the things that, and this I'm giving you for free, and I'm going to close. One of the things that God told me, like I told you, I often have conversations with the Spirit of God on the inside of me. He said, the quickest way to $1 billion, now forget $1 billion, the quickest way maybe to good finances, I'll leave the $1 billion was to me, and I still believe God. But forget, don't pay attention to the sermon. The quickest way to $1 billion is through partnership and diversification. Find people that you can do things with and then do other things. Amen? From that day that God told me that, this is maybe a long time ago, I've been looking for people. I've gone into some ventures. Some of them, they didn't end up as well as I expected. But I still believe God. And I believe that maybe one person in here, maybe two, is going to partner with me and we are going to do something. And we are going to get to that place of our best life in Jesus' name. So, three things as I close. 1 minute. Three things. Number one, acknowledge God. Number two, respect people. Number three, take chances. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless your name. We thank you because your word is true. And Lord, you do not change. Whenever you wanted to deliver, you sent your word. And so, Father, we receive your word this morning, this afternoon. We speak to every life and declare that we are moving to our best life in the name of Jesus. We ask that by your Spirit, you will cause us to remember what you have taught us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.